All right, Rabbi Osei, good morning. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Yud Aleph. We have a beautiful, beautiful Gemara ahead of us. We are picking up on Yud Amud Beis. Now we are picking up 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 lines up from the bottom. First word on the line, Va'am Rabbi Osei. We'll say our shir this morning is dedicated by Said and Simahakin in this Chesuv Rafu Shalima for their aunt Kittel Bas Slato, we hope, who's undergoing major surgery this morning. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she will have a complete and enduring refuah with Kol Chole Yisrael.
Amen.
We also thank our Talmud Torah sponsors of the month of Teves, Shirley Elbaum, together with their sons Avron, Sean, and Judah Elbaum, and their families, dedicating all of the Shirim and Drushas of this month in memory of their beloved husband and father, Jerry Elbaum, in commemoration of his 10th Yahrzeit. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his Nesham will have an Aliyah and his family a Nechama. And I will say, with that, let us begin another incredible journey today and adventure in Maseches Brachos. So, I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina, Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, Hamispal Torah Sheikhav in Esraglov. We'll say, when a person davens, Shema Shmona Esrei, a person has to keep his feet together. Shnei Amar Rashi points out over here, Yachav in Esraglov, Zu Eitzel Zu, one foot next to the other. So the Gemara says, Shnei Amar V'raglehem Regel Yishara. So we'll say, amazingly enough, where is this learned out from? This learned out from the Navi Yecheskel when describing the Malachim. Right? The Malachim ultimately stand before God with one straight foot. Now, it doesn't really mean that the Malachim have one foot, but rather, again, whatever this means, the Malachim, their feet are together. It appears as if they have one foot. When we daven, we emulate the Malachim. We'll say another incredible halacha. What does it mean? We'll say, now, literally translated, L'sochel Adam means, don't eat blood. It's one of the Torah states, the prohibition for eating blood, multiple times. One of the times that it's mentioned, it's phrased in this way, do not eat on the blood. But rather it means, don't eat blood. So the Gemara says, another drush that comes from it. Do not eat before you daven for your blood. Which Rabbi Osei means, we don't eat before davening. The idea being that the first thing I do in the morning should be davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That takes precedence over anything else. Eating, which represents taking care of my own physical needs, only comes after I go ahead and daven. We'll say, of course, if a person has health issues and they need to eat, or blood sugar issues, so that, we're not talking about that. The person has to take care of their health. Or if you're a chassid and it's Shabbos morning, right, so, okay, so that's also a lot of different halachas over here. So, so what the idea is, in general, the concept is that davening is the first thing I do on any given morning. My physical needs, my breakfast ultimately comes afterwards. So the Gemara says, any person who eats and drinks and then davens, which Rabbi Osei means placing priority over my physical needs, over my spiritual needs. I love a Kasav Omer, about him the Pasuk says, Va'osi hishlachta acharei gavecha. So I'll say, so the Pasuk reads, the Pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here is from Melachim. So Va'osi hishlachta acharei gavecha. So the Gemara says, Al tikri gavecha ele ge'echa. So I'll say, literally it means, God is saying, the people have cast me behind their back. You throw me like over your shoulder. So the Gemara says, don't read it gavecha back, rather read it ge'echa, your pride. You've placed your own pride, you've placed your own needs, right? You've become a Baal Gaiva. You placed your own needs before me. So the Gemara says, so after you're arrogant and you go ahead and you take care of your own needs, i.e. eating, then Kadosh Baruch Hu says, then you finally find time for me. Good. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Ad Gimel Shal. So we'll say, going back to the Mishnah now, Rabbi Yeshua says that you could read Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris up until the third hour into the day, right? Which really means, I will say, through the third hour, up until the fourth hour. So remember again, Rabbi Yeshua's logic was what? Rabbi Yeshua's logic is that Kriyat Shema, really Shel Shachris and Shel Arvis, is not simply rooted in day and night. Rather, what is it rooted in? B'shach Becha Uvekumecha. When you go to sleep and when you get up. So therefore Rabbi Yeshua says, the derech of B'nai Malachim, royalty, gets up 3 hours into the day, and therefore halacha l'maisa, that's still the proper zman for Shema. Says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yehuda, M'shmu halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua. Okay, it's very simple. Now who the same, M'shmu, the halacha follows Rabbi Yoshua. And both say that indeed is the halacha, that one could, although ideally, the ideal time for Kriya Shema is when? Kivasikin, which means I'm saying Shema right before sunrise, with Shmona Esrei at sunrise. That's certainly the lachatchila way to daven. Nevertheless, again, I have up through the third hour, ultimately, again, for Kriya Shema Shal Shachris. Hakori mikan ve'elech lo hefsid. If you, what happens if you slept, or whatever, even not slept, what happens if just lemaisa, you didn't end up reading Shema, davening Shema until after the third hour? So the Mishnah said, you haven't lost, quote unquote, you haven't lost, you are kikore batorah. You're just like someone who's reading a passage in the Torah. So it says, digimara, amun av chista arma, uqfa bivachal yomar yod ser ar. So what's if chista comes along and says, while it's true that you can recite Shema after the third hour, what can't you do? You cannot recite Birchos Kriyashma. So if you miss the Zman Kriyashma, you can't recite Birchos Kriyashma. Meisve, is that true? Hakori mikan ve'elech lo hivsid kadam shukari batorah. So we'll say, Bryce says explicitly that if you miss Zman Kriya Shema, although you've missed the Zman for Shema, at the end of the day, you can still say Shema. It's as if you're reading Psukim from the Torah, and in fact, you are permitted to go ahead and say Birchos Kriya Shema. Tiyufta Derev Chista Tiyufta. And Rabbi says, indeed, that is a refutation of Rav Chista's position. Iger de Amri, others have a different version of this Gemara. Amri Rav Chista Amra Ukva, Milo Hivsid, Shelo Hivsid Brachas. What does it mean that if you did not say Shema within the first 3 hours, you could still continue to say Shema and you haven't lost anything? It means you haven't lost Birchos Kriya Shema. Tanya Mehachi, whatever Baisa that supports this, Hakori Mikan Ve'elech Lo Hifsid Ka'adam Shekori Batorah. If you miss the first 3 hours, you can still continue to say Shema because it's no different than someone who's reading from the Torah. In other words, you're not fulfilling the biblical obligation of Shema, because the biblical obligation of Shema ends after the third hour of the day. But why not say Shema? Why not say Shema? After all, again, it's no different than just learning Pesukim from the Torah. But even if you miss the Zman for Shema, you still say Berchos Kriya Shema. Amra Mami, God La Kori Kriya Shema Ba'onos Yosri Me'osik Batorah. We see from here that one who davens Kriya Shema in the right time, his zuchus, the merit of that, is even greater than learning Torah. How do I know that? Mi diktani hakori mikan ve'elech lo hifsid ke adam hakori batorah. Mechlal dekori ba'onasa adith. Because we also look at the verbiage here. The verbiage is, you should say Shema in the first 3 hours. If you don't say Shema in the first 3 hours, can you still say it? Can you still say it? The answer is yes. Because why? It's like kikore batorah. It's like someone who's reading the Torah. So you see from here that reading Shema in the appropriate time is what? Is more important than learning Torah. Rabbi says this is a very important halacha. So halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? So number one, we all know you have until the third hour of the day to say Kriya Shema. Now it happens to be, we'll get into this more in the fourth chapter of Brachas, from when you start the counting of 3 hours is a machlokes, right? Rabbi, you ever read this manim? No, nobody ever like flips open his mind and starts running through it, long drusha or something. So what happens? So if you notice again, there's always this machlokes, Magen Avram in the Gra, right? About what time is about Kriya Shema? And you think to yourself, why would there be a machlokes? It says in explicit halacha, Kriya Shema is till the end of the third hour. So we'll say, so the shayla is, when are you beginning to calculate time? Are you calculating time from dawn, or are you calculating time from sunrise? So we'll get into that ultimately again in the fourth chapter, because that has ramifications vis-a-vis Shmona Esrei as well. But for our purposes today, you can recite Shema through the end of the third hour into the day. But we'll say, if I go ahead and for some reason I missed Zman Kriya Shema, whatever the reason, what's the halacha? The halacha is ultimately, again, that you still continue. You still say Shema, even after the third hour. What about Birchos Kriya Shema? So the halacha is, this is actually quite fascinating. We'll get into this more in the fourth chapter also. Birchos Kriya Shema do not have a din of Shema. They have a din of Tefillah. The halacha by Tefillah is that Tefillah actually is until the end of the fourth hour into the day. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, even if you miss Zman Kriya Shema, you'll still read Shema, and you'll still read Birchos Kriya Shema, because Birchos Kriya Shema, again, are treated like Tefillah, and therefore, again, can be done until the fourth hour into the day. Good. That's the halacha l'maisa. Mishnah. What's the incredible Mishnah? Beshame Omrim Ba'erev Kolad Nemyata V'yikra. So Beis Shammai says, actually quite amazing. Beis Shammai is a literalist here. And they take the phrase, to be reflective of the posture you must assume when reciting Shema. So Beis Shammai says, literally, in the evening, Shema should be recited laying down. B'shach b'cha. And in the morning, Kriya Shema should be recited standing up. B'kumecha, standing up. Beis Hillel Omrim, no. Kol Adam Kori Kedarko. Beis Hillel says, no. The truth is, you could read Shema in whatever position you want to assume. Shene emar. Kedarko just means in whatever position you are. Shene emar ubelech techa baderech. Because what does it say by Shema? Shema is recited when? When you're walking on the road. Walking on the road, Beis Hillel understands just to mean you need not assume any specific posture. Just kind of wherever you're holding, you could say Shema. Then why does the pasuk say b'shach b'chav kumecha? Because Beis Hillel holds b'shach b'chav kumecha rabosai is not a statement about posture, but rather what? It is a statement regarding timing. B'shach b'chav kumecha tells you recite morning Shema when you arise. B'shach b'chav tells me I recite Kriya Shema Shel Arvis when it's time to go to sleep, and Kriya Shema Shel Shachros when people arise. I'm Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, it's incredible. Ani ha'yisi baba darach, v'itesi likros, k'divrei Beis Shammai, v'sakanti batzim v'nei ha'listen. We'll say a wild story. Rabbi Tarfon says, you know, one time I was traveling on the road, and it was time for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, so I laid down on the side of the road. I figured, you know what, I wanted to pass on like Beis Shammai, and I realized as I'm laying down on the side of the road, this is probably not the best idea, right? And ultimately, again, I felt that I put myself in sakana because of the robbers. So what do they say to him? So this Amrullah, the rabbi said back to him, Kidai hayisa l'chuv ba'atzmucha sha'avarat al dirabei so. You know what? If you would have gotten killed, it would have been coming to you. Right? Only Jews talk like this, right? Sorry. Not like it's okay, don't worry, you'll do better next time. Right? You know what? Had you been beaten up, you would have deserved it. Because ultimately, again, you put aside the statement of Beis Hillel and paskin like Beis Shammai. So we'll say fundamental machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, really revolving around the phrase b'shach b'chav kumecha. Beis Shammai ultimately understand that it refers to posture when reciting Shema. Beis Hillel understanding that it refers ultimately again to timing of the recitation of Shema. Now we'll say, now we're going to do in this Gemara, this is really quite amazing, is we're going to not only b'shach b'chav kumecha, but all the psukim of Kriya Shema, not all, a number of different phrases from Kriya Shema, we're going to see how both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel interpret it. Quite amazing. Top of Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. Bishlama Beis Hillel Kamafarshi Tamayu. The time of the Beis Shammai. So we'll say Beis Hillel in the Mishnah explain their reasoning and also explain the reasoning of Beis Shammai. Right? In other words, so Beis Hillel explains what they do with B'shach B'chav Kumecha, and they also explain the reason for their position is why. V'lech techa baderech. That whatever position you want to assume for the recitation of Shema is absolutely fine. Ela Beis Shammai, my time of the Amrei ke Beis Hillel. But why doesn't Beis Shammai hold like Beis Hillel? Amrei lecha Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai will say, Im kein neima, baboker uba erev. If that's the case, that B'shach b'cha uva kumecha are here to teach me timing, that I should recite the nighttime Shema when I go to sleep, and the morning Shema when I get up, then let it just say what? Baboker uba erev. Right? In the morning and the evening. It gets so much easier. My b'shach b'cha uva kumecha. What does it mean ultimately again? When you go to sleep and when you arise. So rather Beis Shammai says like this. B'shas shchiva, shchiva mamish. For the nighttime Shema, which can be recited when you go to sleep, you mamish have to be laying down. Or b'shas kima, and for the morning Shema, when you recite it, kima mamish. You have to literally be standing. So what does Beis Shammai do? So we'll say, what does Beis Shammai do with Belech Techa Baderech? Very exciting Gemara. What does Beis Shammai do? So we'll say, remember again, we know what does Beis Hillel do with Belech Techa Baderech? What does Beis Hillel do with that? Pretty much say Shema how you are. Right? Belech Techa Baderech just means you need not assume any specific posture, right, or position for Shema, but pretty much however you are, you could say Shema. What does Beis Shammai do? This was very exciting. Hahumi bai lehu l'chidisanya. We'll say, watch this. This comes to teach us the following halacha. L'chidisanya. B'sheftecha b'veisecha. So as you remember again, the pasuk says that when do you recite Shema? B'sheftecha b'veisecha. Now the truth is, the pasuk is actually not talking about recitation of Shema. What is it talking about? You said Shema. It's referring to Torah. It's actually referring to Torah, right? It's referring to learning of Torah. But again, we're using this ultimately over here to just speak about that, to kind of to fine tune the details of Shema. So watch this. So it says when you are sitting in your home. Prat lo'osik b'mitzvah. Shabbos say, what does this come to exclude? So this tells me, when am I obligated to say Shema? Ultimately, again, when I'm sitting in my home. But if I am engaged in the performance of another mitzvah, then what? Then what? I'm exempt from Shema. Shabbos say, that's not unique from Shema. What do we call that? Osik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Right? When you are engaged in the performance of one mitzvah, you are exempted from something else. So b'shivtecha b'vaseacha teaches me that ultimately, when am I obligated to say Shema? When I'm sitting in my house. Sitting in my house is the metaphoric statement for I'm not doing anything else that is mitzvah related. But if I were to be doing something else that's mitzvah related, I would be exempt from Shema. Watch this. Uvelechtecha b'aderech, when you're walking on your way, prat l'chasen. This comes to exclude a chasan. This comes to exclude a groom on his wedding night. Again, we're actually going to see these halachos in greater detail. So the Gemara Sabo say, remember, so b'lech techa b'derech is the same idea. B'lech techa b'derech means you're doing your own thing. You're not engaged in anything. A chasan is excluded. Why is a chasan excluded from the obligation of Shema? Mikan amru, from here we learned, hakonis es habesula pater. If a man marries a besula, ultimately, again, he is pater from Shema. The es ha'almana chayiv. But if he marries a widow, he is chayiv in Shema. What's there seen marrying a besula and an almana? Look at Rashi. Hakonis es ha'besula. Shetharud b'machshavas b'ilas mitzvah. Because we'll say if he's marrying a besula, then we assume that he's preoccupied. When we say preoccupied, there's a certain element of nervousness as well for that bia rishona, for that first act of relations. And because by besula, ultimately, again, there's going to be bleeding, and there could be potential issues of besulim. Therefore, again, his preoccupation is with the bias mitzvah, with the act of relations that night of the wedding night, which is a mitzvah. So because he's preoccupied with the mitzvah, therefore what? He's exempt from Shema. Mashiach, if he's marrying an almana, if he's marrying a widow, so again, it's not a first act of relations. There's no besulim, there's no dam besulim, and therefore there's no preoccupation with the mitzvah, therefore it would be chayiv ultimately in Shema. So the Gemara says, my mashma. So I don't understand, how do you learn that from Balech Techabadarach? So that was an incredible drasha, right? Balech Techabadarach teaches me that a chasan on the wedding night does not have to say Shema because he's preoccupied with the bias mitzvah. Okay, says Gemara, how do you know that? Amar Papa ki derech. Because we'll say, what does derech mean? Ma derech rishus. Just like Rabbi say, derech means something optional, right? Derech just means something optional. Af kol rishus. So to again, any time that you are just engaged in something quote unquote optional, i.e. non-mitzvah related, halacha l'maaseh you're chayv in Shema. But if you have a preoccupation with something mitzvah related, you're exempt from Shema. So the Gemara says, 1 second, milo askinan da'azlo dvar mitzvah avilo ochim rachmana likri. How do you know? Maybe lech techa b'derech means this. Maybe lech techa b'derech means even if you're traveling to do a mitzvah, you're still chayv in Shema. So maybe the drasha is just the opposite. Maybe the drasha is, no matter what you're doing in life, even a mitzvah, you're still obligated in Shema. In kein lichtov rachmana, b'sheves u'b'leches. If that's the case, then let the Torah say, when you sit and when you walk, by b'shiftecha u'b'lechtecha, b'sheves didach u'b'leches didach u'd'mechayeves, how the mitzvah patiras. They both say, b'shiftecha u'b'vesecha are possessive. When it literally translated means when I'm engaged in my sitting, when I'm engaged in my traveling. So if all I'm doing in life is something related to me, right, we'll call it something quote unquote optional, then I'm obligated in Shema. But if I have a preoccupation or an engagement in something related to a mitzvah, that could potentially exempt me from Shema. Therefore, the chasan on the wedding night, when he's marrying a besula, will be pater from Shema. To which the Gemara says, Yahachi, if that's the case, Koni says ha'amana nami. To which the Gemara says, I don't understand. But ultimately, again, getting married is a mitzvah. Although, it's actually an interesting discussion. If getting married is a mitzvah or not. It's not immediately clear if getting married is a mitzvah or if it's a heksher mitzvah. But again, not our topic for today. But let's assume, I'll say for a moment that halacha l'maisa, getting married is a mitzvah. So and certainly the bir rishona, right? The act of relations with one's wife on the wedding night is definitely a mitzvah. So I'll say if that's the case, even if a man is marrying an amanah, if he's marrying a widow, ultimately, again, it should be pater from Shema, to which the Gemara says, Hai tarid v'hai lo tarid. We'll say there are two elements over here. There's the idea that a chassan is exempt from Kriya Shema Rabosai is a twofold concept. Number one, that he's engaged in a mitzvah. Number two is that the mitzvah weighs heavily on his mind. Whether that's because of anxiety, whether that's because of nervousness, whether it's because, again, if it turns out that she's not a basula, that could spark a whole variety of other issues, there's a tirda. There's something ultimately, again, weighing on his mind. So there's the mitzvah, and there's the tirda. There's the fact that the chassan is engaged in something mitzvah-related, plus that mitzvah-related item creates a certain level of preoccupation for him. That's what exempts him from Shema. Oh, the Gemara says tirda? So really, preoccupation is a reason to be exempt from a mitzvah? Well, if that's the case, afilu tava svina so bayam. Bosei, let's say, again, I'm a captain of industry. I have boats at sea, and I get news that what? One of my boats sank, or perhaps contemporarily, right? My portfolio sank, right? So let's say, so again, if that's the case, that tirda is a reason to be exempt from Kriya Shema, people are preoccupied with stuff all of the time. So you tell me if I lost money, and as a result, I'm preoccupied, I'm exempt from Shema. V'chitei mahachinami, maybe you'll say, yes, indeed. Alama amaravi, amarazad amarav. Now, interestingly enough, we see that preoccupation is not a reason for exemption. How do I know this? Because an avel, a mourner, is chayiv in all mitzvos. But we'll say, not to be confused with an onein, right? An onein is the period between death and burial. That's where there's an exemption from mitzvos. We're talking about post-burial during Shiva now. An avel is chayiv in all mitzvos, with one exception, chutz min tefillin, with the exception of tefillin. We'll say, this is the halacha, is that an avel does not put on tefillin, or is not obligated in tefillin, yom rishon, on the first day of his avelus. Shar ne'emar behem fe'er, because also when it comes to tefillin, as we're going to see, the Navi Yecheskel refers to them ultimately again as a crown. Shene'emar, fe'ercha chavush alecha. So because tefillin is called the crown, therefore again the understanding is it's not appropriate for the avel to wear a crown when ultimately he suffers such an incredible loss. So we'll say, yet you see that what? Even though an avel has tirda, right? An avel is, right? A mourner is certainly preoccupied with his loss. Yes, yet what? He is still obligated in the mitzvah. To which the Gemara says, so you see that tirda is not an exemption. To which the Gemara says a very simple distinction. Hasam tarit tirda de mitzvah, hacha tarit tirda de reshus. Ultimately, the Gemara says, in the case of the chassan, right, on his wedding night when he's marrying a basula, is Tardis preoccupied with a tirda de mitzvah. It is a mitzvah-related preoccupation and anxiety. Masha'in came the avel, we'll say there's no mitzvah to be preoccupied with your loss, right? Meaning if an office, right, there's no obligation like that. Similarly, again, being preoccupied with financial loss is also certainly not a mitzvah. So ultimately, again, when is there an exemption from Kriya Shema? When there is a preoccupation with something mitzvah-related. But preoccupation with other things ultimately does not result in an exemption. So the Gemara goes weiter. The Gemara says, Beis Shammai, Hahumi Bailu, Pratla Shluchim Mitzvah. So we'll say, what does Beis Shammai do with Belech Techa Baderech? Right, what does it do with Belech Techa Baderech? That comes to exclude Shluchim Mitzvah. And we'll say that people who are on a mitzvah mission, are exempt. Now, we'll say, now what's the chap over here? Now, what this is saying is as follows. Let's say someone's on their way to do a mitzvah. So remember again, the shaliach, the messenger, is not actually performing the mitzvah yet. Rather, what is he doing? He's traveling to. But even the act of traveling to is still called the mitzvah. And therefore, Beis Shammai says such a person will be exempt from a mitzvah. Or Beis Hillel Amri Memele Shmamina Dafi Lo Bederach Nami Kari. Beis Hillel will say, if you look at Rashi, So we'll say, we can learn out that same drasha from Belech Techa Baderech as well. Good. Ten Rabbanan. What's an incredible Gemara? Beis Hillel says, Omdin v'korin, Yoshvin v'korin. Beis Hillel says as follows. We will say that ultimately, again, Omdin V'Korin, you could stand and say Shema. You could sit and say Shema. Matin V'Korin, you could lay on your side and say Shema. Holchin Baderach V'Korin, you could walk and say Shema. Osin B'Malachton V'Korin, you could actually be doing your work and saying Shema. We'll discuss that in a later Mishnah. So we'll say, so therefore, essentially, Beis Hillel says, whatever position you're in, you could say Shema. Right? There's no specific posture for the recitation of Shema. Well, listen to this story. Rabbi Shmuel ben Abelazar, right? Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. I'm sorry. Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah were once together in a place. Now watch this. Rabbi Shmuel was laying down on a couch. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is zokof. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was sitting up straight. Kivan shi giya zman kriya Shema. So watch this. Zman kriya Shema king. Hiter Rabbi, this was Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Hiter Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar lay down. Vizakif Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel sat up. Right, so let's remember again. So Rabbi Shmuel was laying down. Rabbi Elazar was sitting up. When it came time for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, nighttime Shema, Rabbi Elazar lay down and Rabbi Shmuel sat up. Amalur Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was a little bit offended Rabbi Shmuel. He said, Yishmalach Yishmal, my brother. Let me give you a mashal to what you just did. We'll say it's comparable to if I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, your beard looks incredible. Right? Your beard's looking great. And what happens? Amr Lahem and Reuven says, really? And we'll say essentially he goes ahead and Reuven shaves off his beard. Right, it's like giving him a comment about his beard, and then Reuven goes to shave. So also, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Afkach ata, kol zman sheni zakov ata muta. A whole time I was sitting straight, you were laying down. Achshav kashani hitesi ata zakafta. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Rabbi Shmuel, out of deference to you, I was going to lay down for the recitation of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. And when I lay down out of deference to you, what do you do? What do you do? You sit back up. Amar lo. To which Rabbi Shmuel says, that's because we disagree. You're laying down in accordance with the position, ultimately, again, of base Shammai, and I am going ahead and aligning myself with the position of base Hillel. Furthermore, again, there's another concern that people may see our behaviors and what, and may establish the halacha a certain way for future generations. So the Gemara says, "My velo od." What does that extra phrase mean? That the students will see and establish halacha for future generations. We'll say, "Watch this." Remember again, you could say on one hand, Beis Hillel said before that what? What position do you need to assume for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? What position? Any position you want. So if that's supposed to, if you think about it, Rabbi Shmuel could have remained laying down. There was no reason for him to get up. But what was Rabbi Shmuel concerned about? Hani mili demata ve'asame ikara. Ava hocha kevan da'at hashta havazakif v'hashta muta amri shmami nakib shamay sirlu shemayira tamide vikar lachadar. So let's see, what was Rabbi Shmuel concerned about? See, Rabbi said, originally, Rabbi Shmuel was laying down, Rabbi Shmuel was sitting up. Kriya Shema Shel Arvis comes, and now what happens? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah lays down. But Rabbi Shmuel did not feel compelled actually to sit up, because the halacha is like Beis Hillel, that you can say Shema however you want. What was he concerned about? The students are going to see what's happening. But see, if you're a student of these two great rabbeim, and you look at what's happening, what's the logical conclusion you walk away with? That the halacha follows Beis Shammai. Right? Why? Because now even Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who was sitting up, reclined, and Rabbi Shmuel was reclining as well. So Rabbi Shmuel was concerned that the Talmidim are going to look at what we're doing and are not going to understand what's happening. And they'll walk away with an erroneous conclusion. Therefore, Rabbi Shmuel says, I sat up so that the Talmidim should see that the halacha follows Beis Hillel, not like Beis Shammai. We'll say, which is an incredible musr. What's the incredible musr? We'll say, so many times in life, we go ahead and we reach conclusions based on what we see. Based on what we see. And sometimes what we see is only a very small part of the actual truth. So how careful we have to be where we just base our logical conclusion based on what we observe without necessarily understanding the entire backstory. Beautiful. Tani Rabbi Chizkel, Ask Kedir Rabbi Shammai Asa, Kedir Rabbi Asila Asa. Rabbi Chizkel says, whoever you want to paskin like when it comes to Kriya Shema, you can do whatever you want. You want to paskin like Beis Hillel, paskin like Beis Hillel, paskin like Beis Shammai. Rabbi Yosef Amar, no. Natural, not true. If you're paskin like Beis Shammai, you are wrong. You are wrong. This nan mishar bosei. Because again, in general, we see then we have a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. We generally tend to paskin like Hillel, and therefore we'll say once you decide that halacha follows Hillel, then what paskin like Shammai is what is wrong. We'll say it's very important. So there, just because there's an opinion that says something in halacha does not mean that you could rely on that opinion after that opinion has been rejected in the solidification of halacha. So if Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, once we paskin like Beis Hillel, then Beis Shammai's position ultimately is considered to be incorrect. So the Gemara gives an example. It's a great case. What happens if someone has the majority of his body in his sukkah, but his table is in his home? So just imagine you have an open wall of your home, and ultimately your table's inside the home, but I'm sitting inside the sukkah. So what's the status of such a sukkah like this? So Beis Shammai poslin, Beis Shammai says it's possible, Beis Hillel machshirin, Beis Hillel say it's okay. Right? Beis Shammai will say it's concerned that you know home is where your table is, right? So therefore, again, if my table is inside the house, Beis Shammai is concerned I'm going to go inside. Beis Hillel says, no, as long as your body is inside the sukkah, you're good to go. Amr lehem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, Maisa shachu ziknei Beis Shammai ziknei Beis Hillel v'akeres Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis. So one time the elders of Beis Shammai Hillel went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis. Mitzauhu shairosh haru b'sukkah, v'shukhan b'sukkah bayis. They saw that he had this kind of setup. That what? His body was in the sukkah, but his table was inside the house. V'lo amru lo klum. And no one said anything to him. So you see from here that what? That Beis Shammai yielded to Beis Hillel. Amru lohem. They said, Misham raya. You think that's a raya? Af heim amru lo imkin hayisa noheg lo kiyamta mitzas sukkah miyamecha. In fact, Beis Shammai said, the elders of Beis Shammai said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, by the way, a good yamtiv. And if this is the way you've been fulfilling the mitzvah of sukkah, you've never fulfilled the mitzvah in your life. Hatzlocha, right? So the Gemara says, "Ravnachem Yitzchak Amar Asik Dir Beis Shammai Chayiv Misa." I say pretty strong. Ravnachem Yitzchak says, "If you follow the position of Beis Shammai, not only are you wrong, but you're Chayiv Misa." We'll say, "Why now? What does that mean? What a statement!" This nan, because I'll say, "Tell you why." Or I'm Rabbi Tarfon. I ni ha'isi baba derech v'itaisi l'kros k'dir Beis Shammai. What's going on in the Mishnah? Rabbi Tarfon says, "I passed like Beis Shammai, and therefore one time I was traveling on the road, and I laid down on the side of the road at night, and I put myself in mortal danger." V'sakadisim Amru lo, and remember what they said to Rabbi Tarfon? Kedai ha'isa lachov batzmecha. Had something happened to you, your blood would have been on your own hands. Sha'avart al divrei Beis Hillel. So what you see from the wording of the Mishnah, it's not just the pshat that we favor Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai, we accept Beis Hillel over Beis Shammai, we reject the position of Beis Shammai, and therefore it is wrong to align oneself with the position of Beis Shammai. And Rabbi say this is indeed how we pass on local ma'isa. In other words, so the truth is Rabbi say, although the Shulchan Aruch brings down that there is a concept of Dafka being seated, at least for the recitation of the first line of Shema, that is a din in Kavana. That's because we assume that halacha lemaisa, you have more kavana if you're seated and stationary. But on a technical level, we paskin like Beis Hillel, that pretty much you could say Shema in any position you are for Kriya Shema Shal Shachris, Kriya Shema Shal Arvis. But again, for the recitation of the first line, Shema Yisrael Shalom Hashem Echad, which requires explicit kavana, the halacha says ideally you should be stationary. Seated is even better, but lamais again at least stationary. Beautiful. Says the Mishnah. B'shacham avarech shtayim lefan hava achas lacharea. So we'll say for the morning Shema, we say two brachas before Shema and one bracha afterwards. Ba'erev mevarech shtayim lefan hava ushtayim lacharea. At night, kriya shema shel arvis, there are two brachas before Shema, two brachas afterwards. Achas arukah v'achas kitzara. So I will say, ultimately, again, for Shachris, this is going back to Shachris now, one of the brachos is a long, referring to the two brachos before Shema, one of the brachos is a long bracha, one of the brachos ultimately, again, is, I'm sorry, this is for Ma'ariv. For the two brachos after Shema and Ma'ariv, one of the brachos is long, one of the brachos is short. Makom sha'amru laharich ina rashay lekatzer. Lekatzer ina rashay laharich. Rabbi say, in general, wherever Chazal told you that you have to make a short bracha, you should make a short bracha. And when they told you to make a longer bracha, you should make a longer bracha. So Rabbi say, Satosis over here just comments, he says, makom sha'amru lekatzer, kegon bebirchas haperos, ubirchas hamitzos. So Rabbi say, there are certain shorter brachos, right? Lahaglik ner shel Chanukah, Borei Priya Eitz. Chazal structured these brachos to be short. Wherever Chazal structured a short bracha, you can't make an elongated form of it. Wherever they made an elongated form of a bracha, you can't make a shortened form. Bracha ben Shavayin. Laharich in Rashi. Lachtom in Rashi shalom lachtom, shalom lachtom in Rashi lachtom. Still again, Rabbi say, wherever Chazal told you, ultimately again, Rabbi say, we're going to see that in the world of brachos, there are two different brachos. There are some brachos that are just Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, prefix, suffix, Brei Priya Eitz, Amotzi Lechem Min Haaretz, La'adik Ner Shel Chanukah, La'adik Ner Shel Shabbos, Amitzas Sitzis, La'niach Tefillin. So there's a beginning, there's an end. There are other brachos, which are called the Bracha Aruka, where you have a bracha, and then there's the paragraph of the bracha, and the bracha itself ends, it opens with Baruch Atah Hashem, and it ends with another Baruch Atah Hashem. So that's called the Bracha Aruka. We'll get into this in the Gemara. So wherever Chazal mandated a Bracha Kitzara, you can't elongate it. Where they mandated a bracha aruka, you can't truncate it. Good. Ma'amavarch. We'll say that's about birchos kriya shema a little bit. What are the brachos that you say for shema? Amra Yaakov, Amra Boshia. So what we're talking about now, first, just to give us the context, kriya shema shel shachris, which has two brachos before it. What are the brachos that we recite? Amra Yaakov, Amra Boshia. What are the brachos you recite? Top of your alpha on the base. Yotzear uvare choshem. So what's the remember again? The brachos that we're referring to, of course, are what? Are baruchu. Are what we call baruchu today. Baruchu is birchas kriyashma. So what's the first bracha? Yotzear uvare choshem. God creates light and right, or fashions light and creates darkness. I lema yotzear uvare noga. Why doesn't it say God creates light and also creates twilight? It will say noga means twilight. So interestingly enough, the Gemara seems to feel that making a bracha regarding twilight is even a greater praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it was like day and night are absolutes. What's the greatness of twilight? The greatness of twilight is it's this in-between state that man doesn't know what it is, yet what? God does. God does. So why not say Yotzer or Ubari Noga? To which the Gemara says, Kidich Siv Kamiran. Very simple, Rabbi say, Yotzer Uvari Choshech is not just a phrase that Chazal came up with, rather what? It's a pasuk in Yeshaya. So what is the Gemara doing? The Gemara is quoting the pasuk verbatim. So the Gemara says, Me'ata Osa Shalom Bobore Ra Mikaminon Kidichsiv. Rabbi says, remember again, what about another bracha we write? We say Osa Shalom, right? Osa Shalom. Do we say Osa Shalom Ubore Ra? We don't say Osa Shalom Bore Ra yet. That's what the pasuk says. Elik Sivra, so we say Osa Shalom Ubore Asakol. So, but that's not the pasuk. The pasuk is Osa Shalom Ubore Ra. So, if that's the case, that in Brachos you only want to quote Psukim as they're in, why not say Osa Shalom Ubore Ra? Kid Ela Ksivra Vikarinan Hakol. Rather, even though the pasuk says God creates Shalom and also creates evil, we instead read it to say Bore Kakol. Why? Because you want the bracha to read a little bit nicer. So if that's the case that you can manipulate the wording of the pasuk to make the bracha a bit more pleasant, so why not say Yotzer or Uvori Noga? To which the Gemara says, Ela Amarava Kede Lahaskir Midas Yom Balayla Umidas Laila Bayom. Rabbi say in Birchos Kriyashema, the way we structure it is, we like to mention the nighttime in the morning and mention the morning in the nighttime. So Yotzer or Uvore Choshech is the way we mention nighttime during the Birchos Kriyashma of Kriyashma Shal Shachris. To which the Gemara says, Bishlam Amidas Laila Bayom Kidaminon Yotzer or Uvore Choshech. So I understand that we mention the nighttime by day. That's in the bracha of Yotzer or Ubore Choshech. God creates light, reference to day, Ubore Choshech, and creates nighttime, a reference to night. Elamidas Yom Balayla, Hechi Mishkachasla. But Rabbi say, when do we ever mention the daytime during the night? Amra Baye, Golel or Mipne Choshech, the Choshech Mipne Or. Rabbi say, literally, what do we say? Remember again, this is in the brachos. prior to Shema of Ma'ariv, Golel or Mipnei Choshech. Literally, again, he rolls out, he rolls away light in front of darkness and darkness in front of light. So here you see, ultimately, again, there's a reference today, even by night. V'idach Ma'hi. And we'll say, ultimately, again, so now I understand. The first bracha of Birchos Kriya Shema in the morning is what? Yotzer or Uvore Choshech. That's bracha number one. What's, and we'll say, that bracha ends Yotzer Hamaoros, right? Yotzer Hamaoros. So we'll say, what's bracha number two? V'idach, what's the second bracha? I'm going to do Rav Shmuel Avarabba. Avarabba, we'll say, is the second bracha of Birchos Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. And we'll say, by the way, think about this for just a moment. Isn't it incredible that the Birchos Kriya Shema that we say today, we'll say, are the same Birchos Kriya Shema that Chazal have, that we've been, that Chazal has been saying for over 1,000 years. It's the same exact brachos. The same brachos. Incredible. V'chein orile Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yudas b'rei. Avarabba. Tari nami hachi. Ein omrim avas olam. Ela avarabba. Here Rabbi Elazar have an interesting statement. It's an interesting brisa. We do not say avas olam. We'll get into this more. Right? The proper verbiage is not avas olam. This is for shachris. Right? The proper verbiage is what? Ahava rabba. So Rabbi Elazar say, first bracha of Birchos Kriya Shema Shel Shachris is Yotze Eru Varei Choshech. Second bracha is Avarabba. V'rabbanan Amri Avas Olam. Interrupt the rabbi, say, no, the proper verbiage ultimately is what? Avas Olam, not Avarabba. V'cheinu Omer, V'ahavas Olam Ahavticha Alkim Meshachticha Chesed. So we'll say, so again, what's the machlokes? So the machlokes is, once again, do you have to mirror the verbiage of the verse or not? The rabbanan say, the pasuk that this is gleaned from is from Yirmiyahu. In Yirmiyahu it says Avas Olam, therefore Berichos Kresha should also read Avas Olam. There other, on the other hand, we'll say the first opinion says no, it's Avarabba. We'll see why there is an Avarabba in just a bit. So now the Gemara is just segueing for just a bit. Now that we brought up Avarabba, we're stopping over here at Birchos Kriya Shema for a moment, and we're actually transitioning for a moment to Birchas HaTorah. What? This is an incredible Gemara. Hishkim Lashanos, Achlo Kara Kriya Shema. So let's listen to this. If you got up in the morning to learn, if you're learning before you recited Kriya Shema, then you have to recite Birchas HaTorah. Right, so before you learn this, I will say, if you wake up in the morning and the first thing you're doing is learning and not reciting Shema, you must recite Birchas HaTorah before learning Torah. However, Mishakara Kriya Shema, once you went ahead and you said Kriya Shema with its brachos, Ein Tzarech Levarich. You no longer have to recite Birchos Kriya Shema. Birchos HaTorah. Why not? Shekvar Niftar Ba'ahava Rabba. Because I will say, this is amazing halacha. Once you've said the bracha of Ahava Rabba, that discharges your obligation for Birchas HaTorah. Now, why is that? Take a look at Rashi. This is incredible. It's Rashi on top. First short line of Rashi. Shekvar Niftar Ba'ahava Rabba. Why? Shiyesh Ba'me'in Birchas HaTorah. Because what's in Avarabba itself is actually a quasi-truncated form of Birchas HaTorah. How so? What does it say in Avarabba? What do we say in Avarabba? V'sin b'libenu lilmod ulalameid lishmar v'lasos v'kayim es kol divrei samut zarasecha u'salandim chukei ritzonech. All right, so it's a little bit of a different version of Avarabba than we have. But we'll say, but what's the idea? In Avarabba itself, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put into our heart the ability to learn, the ability to teach, the ability to observe, the ability to practice, the ability to uphold all of the words of your Torah. Therefore, we'll say the Gemara says something absolutely amazing, which is Avarabba itself functions as a truncated Birchas HaTorah. See, if you got up in the morning, if the first thing you did was to recite Kriya Shema and the Brachas, once you recite the Birchas Kriya Shema, you have fulfilled your obligation of Birchas HaTorah. We'll say, however, again, if you did not yet say Kriya Shema and its brachos, and you want to sit down and learn, you must first recite Birchas HaTorah. Amar Rav Huna. So we'll say the Gemara now uses this as a little bit of a swing for Birchas HaTorah. Amar Rav Huna, Lemikra Tzarech Levarech, Lemikra Shein Tzarech Levarech. So let's say Rav Huna says, you only need to recite Birchas HaTorah if you're going to sit down and learn Chumash. But for Medrash, Rashi points out, Mechilta, Sifra, Sifri, right? You do not need to recite Berachas HaTorah. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Lemikra ulemedrash tzarach levarach. Rabbi Elazar says, no. Both for Chumash and for Medrash, you have to recite Berachas HaTorah before learning. Lemishnah ain't tzarach, but for Mishnah, you don't have to recite Berachas HaTorah. Okay? Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Af Lemishnah nami tzarach levarach, Aval Talmud ain't tzarach levarach. Rabbi Yochanan says, you have to recite it for Mikra, for Medrash, and for Mishnah, but not for Gemara. Rava Amar Af Le Talmud Tzarech Levarich, and Rava said about say even for Gemara, which essentially means that what you have to recite Berachas Torah for what any piece of Torah you're going to learn before you learn it. Amar Rabbi Bar Avi, the Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi, Zimnin Sagin Hava Kamina Kamei Derav Lisnuye Pirkin Besifra Debei Rav. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Ashi said many times I was in front of Rav, and Rav was going to teach us Sifra. Sifra, and what happened? V'kamashi yadei ubarich u'masnilan pirkin. He would first wash his hands, recite Berachas HaTorah, and only then would he go on to go ahead and teach us. Shabbos says, so what do you see from here? You see from here that halacha l'maisa, Shabbos says, is indeed halacha l'maisa. Before learning any section of Torah, one must go ahead and recite Berachas HaTorah. Whether you're learning Chumash, Medrash, Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, you have to recite Berachas HaTorah. Shabbos says, by the way, so what is my mevarech? Shabbos says, just want to tell you as an aside, this halacha that we just read before is very important. Shabbos says, if someone went ahead and forgot to recite Berachas HaTorah, right, and you said Kriyas Shema and Brachos, once you said Avraba the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you do not go back and recite Berachas HaTorah. Right? So we'll say, so remember, that means, you need to remember, Berachas HaTorah as we have it, there's a lot of stuff. There are two primary Brachos. There's the Brach of Lasok Batorah and Asher Bacharbanu. So once you've said Avraba, you've taken care of your obligation of Berachas HaTorah, you do not go back and recite those Brachos. Remember, if you want to recite the supplemental paragraphs, that's fine, because that's just Torah. But L'maisa, that's how you pass. Halacha L'maisa, Avraba functions as a truncated form of Berachas HaTorah. Incredible. So the Gemara says, by the way, my Mevarech, so we kind of totally went on a tangent now to Berachas HaTorah. So exciting. You never know. Right? They would say it's like being on a Talmudic roller coaster. Right? You just close your eyes and you don't close your eyes, but to understand, but literally, again, you just literally don't know where you're going to go. So now, Berachas HaTorah, my Mevarech. Now you brought Berachas Torah. What do you recite for Berachas Torah? Amar Yudom Shmuel, Asher Kedusham Sausav Tzivano Lasok B'Divrei Torah. So Rabbi say, what is Berachas HaTorah? It's the bracha of Lasok, to engage. Iskus. Rabbi say, we don't just make a bracha to learn Torah, but the bracha we make is Lasok, to be Osek. Rabbi say, Osek means to delve into Torah. Rabbi Yochanan Masayim Ba Hachi Harev Nashem Alokin Es Divrei Sorascha Befinu Ovefivios Amcha Beis Yisrael. Rabbi Yochanan Masayim had the following conclusion. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, make your Torah pleasant. Harev, make it beautiful. Make it pleasant. Put it into our mouths and in the mouths of your nation of Israel. Kulano Yode Shemecha Va'oske Sarasakh. So we'll see different versions. Let us and all of Klal Yisrael, let us be Yode Shemecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu, through your Torah. But say, why do we learn Torah? We learn Torah because Torah is the way that we come to know God. It's true, we learn Torah because I have to know what to do as a Jew. And I can't know what to do without Torah. You can't, we want to say, very simply, you can't be a good Jew without Torah. Not that you can't have a good heart, not that you can't be a well-meaning person, but it's the same way you can't be a physician if you don't go to medical school. You can't be a good Jew if you don't have the knowledge to know what it means to be a good Jew. And where do you get that knowledge? Not from here. It doesn't come from inside. It comes from Torah. Torah is, and furthermore, so that's number one. But number two, Torah gives me the ability to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the greatest gift. I know God through His Torah. Baruch Atah Hashem, Hamalame Torah Li'amo Yisrav. Huna Amar, Asher Bachrabanu Mikol Amim, Benasalanu Es Torah. Rav Hamnuna said, no, Berachas HaTorah is the Baruch Atah Asher Bachrabanu. God, you have chosen us from amongst the nations. You have given us your Torah. Baruch Atah Hashem, no sin HaTorah. Rav Hamnuna, Zohi Mu'ula Asher Brachas. Rav Hamnuna said, I really like that Baruch Atah of Asher Bachrabanu. That's the best Baruch Atah. Hilchach, we both say they're all good brachas. You know what we do? Hilchach nemrinhu lekulhu. We both say because they're all good brachas, therefore what do we say as part of Berachas HaTorah? We recite the Asher Bachrabanu, and we also recite the bracha of Lasok B'Divrei Torah. We both say, stop over, pick a minute, so Berachas Kriyas Shema tomorrow.